We are the greatest dykes in the world. Mackenzie Goodwin, Rachel Scanlon, Worldwide Dykes for Life. Hey, two dykes, two dykes, two dykes, one mic, one mic, one mic, one mic. Yeah, two dykes, two dykes.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I posted one video of me and Nazara in a tent. One.
Yeah.
My DMs were all hashtag fuckfest 2023.
People heard the episode and lost their minds. Here's the thing. If you listen to the episode 225.
You're not allowed to listen to episode 225. If you did, delete it from your mind.
Well, that was supposed to be a private episode. You and I went buck.
I didn't know that it would be so public.
It was a public episode.
That episode's raw.
People were like, oh God. Yeah. And that's what'll happen on a private episode.
If you like 225, you're gonna love
all the
fucking Patreon episodes. You're gonna lose it. Okay, should we start the episode or you wanna just keep fucking around for the end of time?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Two Dykes and a Mic. I'm Mackenzie Goodwin.
And I'm Rachel Scanlon. We have what's with the flag, man?
Do your thing.
Do your thing.
Do your thing.
What? Do your thing.
Do your thing. I'll be over here doing mine. For those of you just listening, I have a tiny, tiny little lesbian flag.
Lesbian pride flag. I have to say something.
That I am allowed to wave in my corner of the room.
I have to say something.
Do your thing.
Where's my flag?
You left it in
Boise.
Where's
the straight pride flag? Why don't we get a month of straight pride?
First off, you're the gayest person I've ever met.
How dare you say that to me?
To my straight face.
I'm hetchy sexy. Everyone loves it about me. Wait, I was walking around a city with you recently and I saw somebody having a shirt that said gray pride.
Which is?
And it looked like no color rainbow.
Okay.
Would you think that's straight? What is that?
Gray pride.
I have to look it up. Oh, I can't. We're using all of our phones. You know what? It was probably grape pride.
Grape.
You know what? I'm hearing it. He's a wine enthusiast.
Either a wine enthusiast or gray hair, like maybe a silver fox.
Ooh.
Type of pride.
All right. Well.
But anyways, I did get this when we were in Boise, Idaho. We stumbled upon a pride festival.
Yes, we did.
And it was the coolest pride festival I've ever been to. And I cannot believe I'm saying that because I've only been to gigantic. I've been to San Francisco. I've been to Los Angeles, the WeHo Pride, and Arizona. This was the best pride I've ever been to in Boise, Idaho.
I don't want to sound like a you know what
dumb bitch.
Yeah. But Boise's pride
popped.
Rocked.
It popped off.
It popped hard. I was like, this is an amazing pride event.
Yeah.
Everything was awesome. We didn't even know it was there. We walked in to like off of the train.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Into the city. And I was like, this park is beautiful. There's rainbows everywhere. I'm like, there's gay people everywhere.
I was like, how did I not know that Boise is a gay haven?
Literally.
There are so many queer people there.
And lesbians.
A lot of lesbians. I couldn't believe. I was like, this is Lestopia.
There were so many lesbians.
It felt like out of the Bible.
Yeah.
Like it felt biblical how many gay people were there.
It did. I was give, like, is there like, an ark? New
is
Testament.
It two by two? Are we going in? What's happening?
Is it the ark?
I was like, what? Hi. Yeah. I've never felt prouder.
Yeah, we were like, two more for the ark, please.
It was nuts. We had a great time.
Yeah, we loved it. I got so sunburned.
You got sunburned.
You picked up COVID.
I got COVID.
At that Pride Fest, for sure.
You know what? Here's the thing. Worth it.
Yeah.
Worth it. I had the best day of my life.
I ate Dippin' Dots.
Yeah, it was awesome. So we love Boise, Idaho.
We love Boise. We'll be back.
We will be back. But I want to talk a little bit about the fact that when I haven't seen you in a week.
Haven't seen each other in a week.
Because
devastating. Literally got
COVID-19.
May I say?
Yeah.
I know you're about to say something.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I have to say something.
Do you know what I'm about to bring up?
No.
The fact that you in the week.
Wait, I have to say something before you say something.
Fine, go ahead.
You hear us talking about all these cities we're going to.
Right.
And you're listening and you're thinking to yourself, how can I hold on to the joy that this podcast brings my ears? You can come see us live. We have less than 10 shows left in this year. We're coming all over. We're coming all over
today.
Please do yourself and all your gay friends or girlfriends or boyfriends a fave. Or they friends a fave.
Mm-hmm.
They friends.
The cities left are Salt Lake, which we had to postpone because I got COVID.
Kansas City. Same story, different city.
And
we'll be in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
We're going to Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be wild. Back through the Midwest. It's all over the city.
Cleveland.
Hi, Cleveland.
Cleveland, show up because a lot of my family's going
to
be there.
Yeah, please show up to drown out Mackenzie's aunts.
It's going to be a weird one.
Come see a show. And while you're at it, something that really helps this podcast is when you leave us a review. So please go leave us a review. Yeah. You could talk about like Mackenzie's weird wrists if you'd like. Or you could be like, this is the best podcast I've ever heard in my life. Hashtag straight pride.
No.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
That's all I want to say.
Okay.
Now you could say whatever the fuck you want to talk about. Even though if you're listening to this, you don't even know, but this episode, we have a guest on and it's so fucking good. You're going to want to listen. We had one of the best interviews times.
I'm going to be honest. This was one of my favorite interviews because the guest is Brooke Eden, who is a openly gay country singer.
Hot.
And she was such an incredible guest, spoke so clearly on her journey through country music, meeting her wife. I mean, it was just beautiful.
Yeah, we love.
Yeah, and also her music fucking rocks.
Her music rocks.
I'm a huge country fan.
As a country singer-songwriter.
Okay.
A gay country singer-songwriter.
Okay, so.
So what?
So when are you going to release music?
My EP drops tonight at midnight.
And what is it called?
It's called Midnights.
You stupid bitch.
Okay, will you tell me what the fuck you're going to say? Quit tiptoeing around it. Say it already.
All right. I haven't seen you in a week because I had COVID.
Yeah, which was really tough.
It was tough on all of us. You show up to my house with a brand new tattoo, fresh ink.
Oh, yeah.
And here's the thing. It looks like me and my wife scissoring on a moon. So
if you're listening, I did, in fact, get Erica and Mackenzie Goodwin tattooed on my arm.
Tell me, because it does look like Erica and I as witches scissoring on a moon.
That's so cute.
So if you want to see this, get Patreon, because this is, if we could get Leah.
It's
pop right in.
Don't pop in too hard because it's healing, Leah. It's healing.
But can you talk about why you got us? Because I am now, first off, this is a business. You're my coworker, HR.
Yeah.
You got me and my wife, my
lover, on the moon.
Scissing on the moon. What's up with this?
What do you mean, what's up with this?
HR.
I love you too.
I love you too.
And I wanted you to immortalize forever fucking on the moon on my elbow.
Okay.
Because area.
You showed me earlier that if you move your arm a little bit, you can kind of make them sizz, make them move together.
Yeah. I got this tattoo on a whim, like I always do.
Yeah.
I was inspired by Flaunt Streetwear, which is that clothing brand in Austin that gave us all that stuff. They come to our shows. They're like this hot twin.
Yeah. We love their
artists.
Clothes. If you want to support a local, if you're in Austin or Texas, or just a queer brand in general, this brand rocks.
They rock. I'll put their handle in the episode description so that you can go check out their stuff. But they had this like image, this design on a shirt that they gave to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I fucking loved it because when I was in college, aka an alcoholist, thank you, very little, there is, if you're a beer drinker or you know Miller High Life, their logo is like this girl sitting in a crescent moon.
Mm-hmm.
And I was this close to getting it tattooed on my back of my shoulder.
You really were an alcoholic.
Yeah, well I was like, this makes total sense. Yeah. Also, like everyone in Milwaukee has that tattoo.
That's crazy.
I was like, this makes sense. I want this like babe in the moon holding like a beer, Miller High Life, the champagne of beers. I was like, let's go.
Okay.
Didn't get it for whatever reason. Probably too busy fucking. Probably too busy railing.
I would like to apologize for my coworker. Continue your story.
Never got it. Then that like really nice clothing brand gave us all those awesome clothes. Yeah. I love those guys. Follow them. And then I was like, I need more because I want to fill out my arm.
Mm-hmm.
And then so I was like, these two girls are kissing in the moon, very much like the High Life.
Yeah.
But there's two girls kissing. And I asked them if I could use the design and then change it a little bit. And they were like, fuck yeah. And then so I just put it on my arm. I just like, where's the closest tattooist who's a woman?
So it isn't me and Erica.
Well, technically, yes.
So Eric and I got married, and then you immediately got us tattooed in your arm.
Yeah, forever.
Okay.
It's just they're just two girls kissing. I also didn't know it was going to look like such a witch.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, that's a witch.
Yeah, it is
witchy. But yeah, they're just these two girls scissoring on the moon, and it's tattooed on my body forever, and I love my girls, and I can make them. I love them. They're in love. They're in love on
the
moon.
They are really in love.
Yeah.
So what did you do this week while I was fully resting? Let's call it resting.
I missed you, to be honest.
I missed you
because we spend so much time together, and then we were ripped apart, and I was like, I miss you.
I know.
Or whatever. What did I do? I panicked. I got a tattoo of you. What did I? I was away from you for 48 hours. I like got a tattoo of you real quick. It's still healing. I went camping with Nazara, as mentioned, in a tent. Everyone's like, are you guys fucking? And it's like, yeah, we are, but don't be weird.
Don't
now
be
you're
weird
being
about
weird
it.
About it.
Don't be weird about it. If you see Rachel in a tent, you know what she's doing.
You know what I'm doing.
You don't
you
need
know
to
what
ask
so
about it.
Fucking weird is like, we do this podcast and like if people interact with it on Patreon or they're answering the questions on Spotify or they're like, I don't know, on two dicks and a mic, I'm like, this all makes sense.
Yeah.
When I see it in my personal DMs, I'm like, you guys are listening to this? I'm like, you guys are listening to this gay shit.
Here's the problem. You just post maybe too much. And now
I feel like I've been really pulling back on posting.
Have you?
I posted just one, but one video of me in a tent.
Well, they know what's up.
They know. They see a tent.
And I would like to apologize. Episode 225
was too buck.
It was a little buck. You had just had COVID. So you were like
crazy.
Crazy. And today, obviously, I'm trying to be chill, but I'm waving this flag around.
Yeah, this is your emotional support flag, which I've never seen the likes of, but I love what I'm seeing.
This is as gay as all you'll ever see me.
It's still very wrist forward.
It's all wrist.
I missed you so much when you were gone. I like did a lot of soul searching.
Same.
And I've decided to drop my EP at midnight. How is your week?
If you did an EP, the amount of songs that would be I'm in love with my co-host.
Yeah.
Endless.
Endless. I mean, listen, if you want the real,
yeah.
I don't know when this episode fucking releases, but it's October.
Yeah.
So I had to put out all the pumpkin decorations.
Yeah.
We had to go buy Disney Plus again.
For Hocus Pocus?
For Hocus Pocus, but also for Long Ponds.
Oh, stop. You play that?
Every time.
I want to say.
Stop.
Because people can look, they can
don't.
Go all the way back. We've been hearing a lot of people that are like, I've been listening. I just started listening and I decided to start from the beginning and really blow through a lot of your episodes.
I know. People are like, where's the DVD? And I'm like, the DVD's gone.
The journey that you have taken as a human and as a Swift fan, a Taylor Swift fan, which by the way, I feel like we're going to have to at some point address the VMAs. Should we just do it real quick?
I guess. I mean, do we have time?
We'll really quickly do it.
Okay. Taylor Swift was being like
the gayest I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah, I watched the entire thing. And I
didn't
was like,
watch them.
Oh,
tell me.
Demi Lovato was singing her new rock medley. So went through and did all of her old songs. But and I want to say, because I know that people on Twitter have been getting a lot of backlash. Demi now goes by she, her,
yeah.
and they.
Yeah.
Just for people listening.
Yeah, she, they.
Yes.
A classic Shay.
Okay. Just because I keep seeing people on Twitter like being like, hey, you're not doing it. And they're like, wait, she goes by she, they now.
People love to police
I know,
other people.
I know, but
win.
I just want to get ahead of this one.
Okay.
So anyways, Demi did the rock medley and at the end ended with Cool for the Summer.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Swift was dancing so fucking hard mm-hmm. to Cool for the Summer.
Yeah.
And was doing a lot of like hand motions, really like.
Was she doing the thing?
Cherry, want to take a bite?
Yeah, of course like, she was cherrying.
Really doing like getting into the song. And somebody took a video and did a composite version of her Taylor Swift back when that song was released and Demi did the video
mm-hmm.
and was performing it live, I also think at the VMAs,
mm-hmm.
and then now. And seeing Taylor Swift the first time she saw it live and was kind of like kind of just sitting there bopping her head but not really doing much to now being like full-fledged like, I want a taste for the cherry. You know what I mean? Like her growth as a
gay person,
as
somebody who's comfortable in her queerness,
I would say somebody who's comfortable with be listening to a queer song, okay. An openly queer song, because I don't want to, you know, Taylor Swift is not openly gay.
I want to say something.
Yeah.
Actually, I want to say like 14 things.
Yeah.
Because I think that we, every episode we go, we don't got to talk about Taylor anymore. I we know. Got it.
But then it keeps.
And then she keeps doing stuff that you're like,
oh, we got to say something.
Because
people keep DMing us.
It's our
like,
job.
Please talk about this.
It's our job.
Right. Did you see Glad's post?
Yes. Okay. I sent it right over to you.
Yeah. It was sent to us by 30,000 people.
If you're looking on the Instagram of Glad, on the main grid, you will first photo in the carousel.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift.
Right.
And
Billy Porter.
Yeah.
And then you swipe every single person in the carousel is queer. Openly queer.
It's the Glad Instagram page.
Right.
Covering the VMAs of the queer people at the VMAs. Because that's what that is.
Yeah.
I'm just... Here's the thing. I think like she, I mean, listen, I'm a Long Pond head.
You are. You went from really not liking her.
Yes. Disliking Taylor Swift.
To now you are a full blown Swiftie.
I will say in my defense, mm-hmm. I genuinely think it is from, I had a very bad first love who looked exactly like Taylor Swift.
Yeah, so you were...
I was dealing with it.
Usher, she reminds you of a girl.
I was ushering as 8701. Mm-hmm. She reminds me. I got into therapy.
Yeah.
I've healed an old wound.
So you're saying therapy made you like Taylor Swift?
Therapy has made me open up to the possibility of listening to Taylor Swift music.
I don't think that that's... It's not a possibility anymore.
It's not.
You actively...
And then folklore got me through the LA Marathon training,
right.
As we all know.
Yeah.
And now here I am long ponding when I'm putting up my Halloween decorations with the love of my life.
Yeah. That'll happen.
And
so
thinking,
we are now a Taylor Swift stan podcast.
We went full circle. Mm-hmm. I think that she has a way with the pen.
Don't, dude. Hey, man.
She's got a way.
I can't.
With the pen. And once you realize, I went to a fucking yoga class that was Taylor Swift music.
Yeah, you're a huge Swiftie. You're a huge Swiftie now. Here's the thing. People were, after the VMA performance.
Yeah.
Where Taylor was seen dancing, having a lot of fun, drinking.
Hello. She was having a victory lap for sure.
She was, she let loose, which is a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, it's fun.
And a lot of people sent me a specific clip where she kind of touches her inner thigh while dancing.
No, I can't.
And
I
here's
can't
the thing.
Hear that.
They were saying, Mackenzie, you're right. Taylor Swift probably does fuck.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Because, you know, for the longest time, our theory was that she doesn't. And then it turns out, vigilante shit, she indeed might fuck.
Yes, I think.
I think that Taylor Swift might
actually
fuck.
I think she might.
She might even plop. For the love of God, she might plop.
I think she might do more than plop.
Are you serious?
Like, I think she might be. I think Cara Delevingne is out here really, like, showing it off.
Yeah, of course.
I think Taylor Swift might be a secret Cara Delevingne.
A secret freak.
Yeah.
A secret slut.
A secret. We don't slut shame.
I'm not slut. I'm literally saying with a smile on my face.
Okay. I think it's possible. I think it's very possible. And I think we're getting more glimpses of it because she's being more comfortable with her sexuality.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I think she might be the man.
I can be complex.
Yeah.
I could plop. Yeah, something's definitely happening. Something's afoot. And also, I saw this video that was going around, too, of Demi Lovato doing, I think, Stern.
Yeah.
And he's about asking
cool
about, Cool for the Summer. And she was like, I mean, it's about
a woman.
Yeah. And she's like, I was coming out as bi. And like, this song was about that.
Yeah.
And he was like, is it about another like celebrity, like another female celebrity? And she's like,
yeah,
it is.
I know a lot of people are now trying to put together Cool for the Summer and Cruel Summer.
Yeah.
I do not think that those two connect in any way.
Okay, because can I for a second, for our own fun gay fantasies, just for fun, let's think about right as Demi Lovato is coming out as queer and writing this song, And it's about a sexual encounter that she has with Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Do you think anyone's coming?
That's not a question we can ask or answer on this podcast.
Okay, first of all, it's absolutely my duty to ask. I'm over here crunching gay numbers left and right in my head, whether I want to or not. I have a T9 okay. Texas Instrument.
I'll tell you right now.
I have my spectacles on and I'm crunching the cruel for the summer, cruel summer cool. numbers.
I don't think that they are each other's types.
Mackenzie,
what?
It's not about if they're each other's types.
I don't.
If they were to have fucked, which I'm not saying they did, and I also don't think that they would. I don't think they could. Neither of them have the stamina
for each other.
For each other.
I don't think that they're each other's types, and I don't think if they were to hook up, anything would happen.
Listen.
Yes.
If they were.
I already answered your question. Who asked and answered.
Would top who? Let me just do one who tops who.
Okay.
Demi Lovato, Taylor Allison Swift. Who's topping who?
I think this is gonna shock you.
Okay.
I think Taylor would top.
That doesn't shock me.
Are you serious?
That doesn't shock me in the slightest good way. I'm like, yeah.
I think Demi Lovato's a bossy bottom.
I kind of identify with Demi Lovato, like addiction issues, like kind of like works really hard, amazing power, also annoying as hell. You know what I mean? Like, and I think I would kind of surprise people to know that I'm like a mouthy bottom.
Yes. And I think Taylor, kind of quiet, exceptionally smart,
tall.
I think she's a top.
Singer songwriters are always like,
I think she's a secret
service top. Yeah. Service plop.
There you go.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think Taylor's topping Demi.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sorry that this episode took such a wild turn. We have an amazing interview coming up right now.
Yeah.
So please listen.
We did have like the best time with this guest. Genuinely, like, cannot wait to hang out with them.
Fucking rocks.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah. So please listen.
Sit back and enjoy.
I was going to say, put your ears together. It did not make sense.
Oh my gosh. You guys, please enjoy this interview with this episode with this guest who we love, Brooke Eden. Okay, hi, Brooke Eden. We're so excited to have you on Two Dykes and a Mic. You are a super talented musician. You've been on American Idol. Your beautiful wedding was covered exclusively in People magazine, which I have been looking through the photos like a gay little freak.
Yeah. Rachel's been over here just scrolling and crying.
Yeah,
that's so cute. Yeah, thank you so much for having me. You guys are hilarious, so happy to be here.
Yeah, we are both obsessed with your music. Your EP recently dropped and it is phenomenal. It's incredible.
Thank you so much. I just have been in this place in country music where I'm like, it's time for the queers to appear.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're there. They're just not appearing yet.
Yeah, exactly. So, I kind of like dedicated this EP to my love story with my wife and going from...
Rachel is...
Sorry, I like have been spending all week like consuming the things that you have created, and I'm... a Cancer sign.
Yeah.
And it's just fucking good. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. Sorry. Your love is beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. No, but like, I just thought it was time that like a country artist freely and openly and authentically talked about, you know, being with someone of the same sex, and it shouldn't be anything like radical or crazy. It's just like, is what it is, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, the EP starts with a song called Whisperin', which is like, probably the most like typical conversation for like any gay couple, which is just like, you know, you're kind of like feeling it out in the beginning and you're not telling anyone. Like, I feel like straight couples immediately are like, oh yeah, we're dating. Like, look at us go. Yeah. And like, I feel like gay couples are like, oh, we have to like suss this out first and like make sure that it's right. And like, also for me and my wife, it was like, make sure that we're ready to like blow up our lives.
Wow. True.
We are in the country music world, you know. But then like the chemistry that we had was so apparent. So it was very hard to hide, even though like we tried really, really hard. It was just like, humanly impossible. And then, yeah, so we would like walk into these rooms and we could tell that like people were talking about us, but like we weren't allowed to talk about us, which was insane. So that's what the first song is about, and kind of like taking your power back there. And then the EP like ends with our first dance song that I wrote at our wedding, which was just like the most like emotional moment that ever. Because first of all, I never thought I was gonna get married. I'm like, you know, dated guys like most of my life, and was like married. Why would I get married?
Why would I ruin my life?
Yeah, I was like, I'm like cool, like hanging out with you like one day on the weekend, but like past that, I'm kind of good, you know. And then like met my wife and I'm like, so like what are you doing tomorrow? And then I'm like, what are you doing the day after that? And then like the day after that, like what are you doing, you know?
I love that. That is so beautiful.
It really is. Like, I think it's those things that we have to do when you're in a queer relationship that there is not the equivalent to that. Like, I think that the world that we live in now, where people are like, everyone's gay, everything's so accepted, everything's so easy now, is like weirdly the narrative that we're taught. But there are things that like the straight community is like not thinking about, which is like when you start to like date somebody, there are completely different rules, conversations and rules that are happening in real time that like even I think especially when it comes to being in country music, the space of country, the culture of country, which is kind of like, it's kind of like you're a, I mean, I don't want to speak for all country music, but the vibe is like, you're a pretty little girl and your husband's got a truck and it's like aggressively straight for something that is so deeply queer. When you're really looking at like cowboy a cowboy culture, hat and boots, cowboy culture is queer.
Gay. It's Hi, so gay.
This is like a gay space that they have taken. The straights have taken it and it's like, give it back to its rightful owner, the queer community. And let's rock out.
Yeah.
Yes, 100%. I mean, Brokeback Mountain wasn't created for nothing. You know?
I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah, no, it was so different too, especially like my wife and I have been together for 8 years now. So like years ago, it was a very different environment than it is now. So like, you know, there are definitely more like out queer artists in country music, which is like amazing. And like, but like back then we had Ty Herndon and Shelley Wright who had come out like 10 to 15 years before I met my wife. And it was like that they were kind of like the stories of like, hey, you know, if you guys did come out, that's what would happen to you.
Right. So she like never worked again, correct?
Yeah. I mean, she I think that like she did shows for a while, but like was completely ousted from the country music community. They excommunicated her from the church pretty much.
That's so crazy.
So those were kind of like the stories that I was like being told by, you know, the people that were in charge of my career, like, hey, you know, you can either be gay or you can be a country artist, but like you can't be both. So explicit. It was very hard in the beginning, just trying to figure out how the hell to navigate this. And like country music is so supposed to be, you know, super authentic. It's like country music is called like three chords in the truth. And like, I wasn't able to speak my truth for so long. And like, now I am. And so I'm just like loud and proud and, you know.
Isn't it so weird too that like when you met your now wife, there was that like spark. You can see it. You can feel it. It's like palpable in a room and people are talking about it. And yet you still either have to conceal it or have this huge moment of coming out when it's like, if there's two, like a guy, gal, straight couple running around, people are like, oh, they're together. It's like this assumed, like, and it's like, why? I mean, I know why, but like it is
infuriating.
It's just so interesting that it has to be like there's this palpable tension and people are like, well, they're probably just
sisters,
close sister. Yeah. You know, it's like it's different.
The number of times that my wife and I have been asked if we're sisters and we look absolutely nothing alike.
Yeah.
Like we are not that like queer couple that like looks the same, you know, because we all know them. They are lots of queer couples that you're like, wait, are they sisters? Or like, are they brothers? You know?
Yeah. Is that the Jonas Brothers or is that a couple just at Dinosaur?
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, like, I'm like light skinned, light hair, light eyes. She's dark skinned, dark hair, dark eyes. And it's so funny how many people will be like, are you sisters? And we're like, these are sisters, that's, you know? Like, yeah.
You also, you met your wife in the industry, right? She's a tour manager.
Yeah, she actually was my record label rep in the very beginning. So we were extremely scandalous, y'all.
That's like, very scandalous.
Hot.
Yeah, so we were actually like confined to a tour bus for like the first week that we met. And
very sexy.
Yeah, yeah, it should have been, but it wasn't. It was very terrifying because I was like, oh my God, like the first day I remember being like, oh my God, like this is my soul sister. Like she is just like, we just connect and like, we're going to be best friends. And by day three, I was like, oh no. Like, I don't feel this way about my friends. And yeah, it all of a sudden I was like getting the feels and I'm like, oh no. Yeah. And I actually like wrote a song about that week that I had like, I'd run into the bathroom because we were like, we were watching Drunk History. Y'all know that show. It's yes. So funny. So we were watching Drunk History and we were laughing so hard that I actually was like, I'm going to pee my pants if I don't go to the bathroom right now. So I run to the bathroom and I remember like I had my phone in my hand and I was like, oh, shit, I am falling in love with her. And it was just like she was dating someone when we met and I was dating someone when we met. And so it was this like thing where I was like, well, I can't date her anyways. Like we're both with somebody else. And so I wrote down a title in my phone called If I Would Have Met You First. Oh. And it was just like the most like palpable feeling of like, why did I have to meet you when you were with someone? And yeah. Like, I'm not a homewrecker and I'm not even going to like fuck with that. But like, also you're the love of my life. So like, what do we do?
Wow.
Yeah. So it was crazy. We were like stuck on this bus for a week together. And like by the fifth day, she was like treating me like a little boy on the playground treats a little girl, you know, like, like she started picking on me and I'm like, what is happening here? And then I broke off my relationship like immediately after, like a week after I met her, because wow. I was just like, there's no way that I can feel this way about someone else and like actually be in love with this person that I'm in a relationship with. So yeah. Like, I need to cut this off. But I didn't tell her because I was like, I don't want her to feel like she has to do that because I did that or like it's weird, you know? So I didn't tell her. And then she called me a week later and was like, hey, so I broke off my relationship. And is our relationship weird? Because like, I like don't know what's happening. Actually, let me preface this. This is what she said. She said, I just got out of a therapy session and tonight I need you to get drunk and call me.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was like, it could go one of two ways. Right. But I really took the mission to heart and I drank an entire fishbowl margarita by myself. And so some of the conversation we don't remember, but what we do remember is that I was like, I don't know anything. Like we had not touched, we had not held hands, we had not kissed, we had not nothing.
Wow.
And so I was like, I don't know how this is going to go. Like we could kiss and it could be like, wah, 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 or we could kiss and it could be electric. But what I do know is that like, I right now, like I want to spend every day with you. Like, I just want to be around you. I want you to be happy. I want to be happy and you make me happy. And like, what if we just try this out kind of a thing? And so, yeah, we've
so cute.
Been had, together for 8 years now.
Had either of you been with women before this kind of moment of coming together?
Yeah. So she was actually with a woman when I met her and okay. I had a girlfriend when I met her, but it was my relationship. Actually, we both had pretty toxic relationships. Mm-hmm. And it was both each other's first girls. Like,
wow.
We were each other's second, like girl relationship, girlfriends. And so, yeah, that was interesting because I was like groomed so well by the heteronormative society that I was raised in that I just thought I was like a really great ally, like my whole life. Like, you know, like I would like kiss a girl and I'd be like, you know, like out somewhere in like college or whatever, kiss a girl. And I'd be like, God, I'm such a good ally. Like, that's just like me at all, you know, that was like great.
You'd be like, somebody dare me to be a bigger ally. If anyone wants
dare me.
Somebody dare me to walk you down the aisle. I'll kiss anyone. Just
a huge, huge fan of the community.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Uh-huh. So and then like I dated a girl in my like early 20s and it was super, super toxic. And I was like, well shit, if this what it's like to be with a girl, then like I can check that off my list, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And then, like I met Hill and just like everything changed, and like I was definitely not U-hauling with my ex at all. And then like I met Hill and I'm like, so like when can we like move in together? Are we gonna like put your house up on Airbnb, or like how do we want to do this?
That's so cute. That's how you know.
I have like two music questions. Gay music, yeah. Love, because I'm like I'm upset. I'm a love. I love love so much, yeah. And I'm not a singer-songwriter, but like how many love songs do you think you are writing for your wife? Or like I'm like, because imagining when you have those 7 days of like in this tour bus, you're like, this shit's happening to me. You already have that song, you like ran to the bathroom, like, yeah. How often are you just like, oh, here's another banger about how much I love your gay ass?
Yeah, totally. I mean, hundreds, yeah. Like for sure hundreds, if not like 1,000.
I love that.
Yeah.
So
and you
much.
Imagine.
Yeah. You what?
I'm just imagining like the capacity to write music and then being in love is like, oh boy.
Yeah.
It is like, oh boy. And then like, you should hear my music like before Hillary and after Hillary. Like before, it's like all like angsty, breakup, heartbreak, but like not heartbreak for me, like you were wrong, like Cowboy Casanova kind of like vibes, yeah. You know? And then like after Hillary, I like literally have a song called All My Songs Are Love Songs, because like truly, mm-hmm. ever since we met, it's just like love song, love song, love song, love song. I'm like a love song machine factory over here.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah. I think that's gay love.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, listen, I don't want to say that like straight love isn't real, because of course it's there. I've seen movies. However, queer love, that like type of thing when you're falling desperately, you're like, oh shit. Yeah. The oh shit, like
I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble.
Well, yeah. We're in huge trouble here. I have to call my label. Like we're gonna blow some shit up is crazy. Can your wife sing at all?
No.
See, yeah. Think there's something I my entire life assumed I was going to fall in love with a soprano, mm-hmm. who could harmonize with me. And
just not a bad singer. Actually a pretty good singer.
Some might say I'm the world's best comedian singer. However, you know, I'm just trying to sing Take Me or Leave Me in the Car type of vibes.
Okay.
But there
okay.
is something nice about like having somebody who's not a good singer.
Yeah.
And you can shine. You can be like, let me play you something.
Yeah. So Hillary's always been on like the other side. Like she's been on the business side. So she's actually super good at like A&Ring. Like when I bring a song to her, she'll be like, this is really good. There's like kind of three levels. Like she'll be like, this doesn't really sound like you. That's like the bottom level, right? Then she'll be like, this is really good. Play it again. And then she'll be like, this sounds like radio. And then that's when I know,
nice.
This is a really good one, you know? But yeah, she is very much like, I want to be all behind the camera, which I've completely had like changed her in that situation. I'm like, sorry, unless you want me to hire like an actress who looks like you for my music videos, then you're gonna have to jump in, cowgirl, you know. Yeah, so she's been in my music videos, and I dated, like I feel like I was always dating another artist or like another person in music, just because it was like that's who I was around, that was my community. And so like I had, you know, dated a bunch of, you know, dude artists and a girl artist, and like we're like date, you know, that was who I dated before. And it always got a little weird. Like, it always got a little
like competitive.
Competitive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where it would be like, well, why are you doing that? Like, you know, I want to be doing that. And to me, it was always like, you know, if one person does well, the other person's going to do well too. Exactly. It's great. Like, it shouldn't be a problem. But it always got a little competitive. And I was just like, oh, this gives me icks. Like, I want the best for you and I need you to want the best for me. And
100%.
There can't be this competitive feeling here. So I really love, I feel like the dynamic of like me being in music and then my wife being on the music business side of things has been like a really good, like just dynamic for us, because there's no competitive, it's all just synergy.
That's great. And that's does she tour with you at all?
Yes. So now she's my tour manager.
Love that.
Yes.
Back in the tour bus from whence you belonged, from the beginning to the end, from bus to bus, sea to shining sea.
It's right. Really coming full circle.
Yeah, that's hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I also just got married last week.
Oh my God.
To my,
congratulations,
I met my wife. She was a tour manager for an artist, and it was really hard balancing us being on tour and one not being on tour. So now that you guys, are you always going to tour together?
I would think so. I mean, we are wanting to like start a family soon. And so
congrats.
Like, thank you. And so there's going to be a little bit of like, we're going to have to figure this out kind of like show by show, that kind of stuff. But I would say she would probably always like set up the shows. And then if I needed to have like another tour manager, because she was like at home with the baby or the kids or whatever, then like we could, but I feel like if I was on like a tour and we had a bus and all that stuff, we would probably just like bring the bands.
Bring them. Cowboy hats.
Little baby cowboy boots and hats.
Tiny.
Yeah, that's cute.
Big little fringe. Oh,
fringe, the fringe, your wedding dress. Come on.
Oh,
let's go. You know what the fuck you're doing over there.
You do.
That dress, like to dance in, to walk in, to move in was just so much fun. That was a dream.
And how was planning the wedding? Are you guys both planners or did Hillary do a lot of the planning?
Hillary did 98% of the planning. I came in for my big 2% at times, but yeah, she is the epitome of a planner. She plans like all of our trips, like all of our everything. That's like, you know, that's what she's always done, and she is prolific at it.
Wow.
She's so freaking good. And so yeah, our wedding was insane because she is so good at planning. But yeah, I didn't do much planning.
That's the way to do it, honestly. Yeah. I need a Hillary.
If you do,
in a big way.
Listen,
everyone
needs a tour bus.
We all need a Hillary, you know what I mean?
Truly.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
I know, I'm so happy for you guys. This is just so exciting. It's a season of love. It really is.
It's a season of love, and I'm just like listening to Whisper, thinking to myself, like, did you literally go through my diary in high school and then write a song based on my experience? Because that's
it spoke
intrusive.
To Rachel.
That's a little intrusive, Brooke.
Intrusive, yeah. I found your journal online. There's a digital version of it. Sorry you didn't know about that. And I wrote it off of that.
I knew it. It's just so like, I think that it is like, you know, when you do art, what works the best is when you really can feel it. And what's really fun about consuming art is when you have had that same feeling from somebody that you've never met. And I think that like getting more queer artists gives us that feeling that like I thought for so long as the only person that like loved women. And I just appreciate hearing it. You hear the music, you can feel it right away. And it just is like, oh, right. Like you and I are connected through just like having these experiences. And that's fucking beautiful. So thank you for your art.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's like amazing. And yeah, thank you for sharing that. Yeah. It's really, really cool because I totally felt the same way of just like, you know, I'm the only one. I must be the only one, you know, and just to find out, like, you know, I put out this music and like, there's so many people who have reached out to me, like, I grew up on country music. I loved country music. And then I realized I was gay and I felt like there wasn't a place for me here.
Yeah.
And now I know that there is. And to me, that's like literally everything, because I felt the same exact way. And so to just like be a part of a community where there are so many shared like situations, there's so many things that you feel so alone about until you have one conversation with another queer person and you're like,
oh, okay,
totally normal. And like, we all have had these feelings. And also, like, it's weird to think that, like, you know, most of my friends were like, you know, dating guys and falling in love by like 15 and 16 years old. And like, I'm over here and like thinking something's like broken here, you know. I'm like, what's going on, you know? Like, they're all like getting their hearts broken because their boyfriends break up with them. And like, I remember like boys like breaking up with me and being like, whew, okay, so that's over.
Yes,
like,
same.
You know,
same.
Like, yes.
Wow.
Like, yeah, there's none of that. Like
oh, why do I not care? Why do I care so little about this?
Yes. And then I thought like something was broke. Like, do you literally not have emotions that like would make you feel sad about this? Like, I remember I had a boyfriend who was like a country singer. Like, he broke up with me. He was like, I just don't think that I can give you what you need because I'm out on the road so much. And I'm like, dude, like, I literally need like so little from you. Like, actually, if I could take less than what you're giving me right now, I would do that. I will sign up for that as well. And I remember I was like at home with my mom. This is like obviously before I came out. And I was like, well, you know, this guy just broke up with me. And my mom was like, oh my God, call him and let him know that you don't need that much. And like, it's okay. And da da da. And I'm like, mom, I am so not there. Like, I am so relieved. Like, I think that this was a great decision, you know. I think it was a wonderful decision. And she's like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, what's wrong? Like, you know, why does there have to be something wrong with me because I don't want to be in this relationship anymore, you know? Yeah. So I think that that was, like, something that I've been able to, like, talk to other queer people about was just, like, you know, straight people go through this, you know, high school and college of like, even middle school sometimes where you like feel like you're like hopelessly in love with somebody. And I just didn't have that until I was like in my early 20s. And it's crazy because so many people have like so much longer of experience with like falling in love than we do. Because like, I mean, for me, I was so, it was so ingrained in me that I was supposed to be dating boys. Yeah. That like, I didn't even think of the alternative of like dating a girl, and maybe that's what was wrong with me the whole time.
Can I ask you a question? Who were your high school crushes, like celebrity crushes growing up, boy or girl?
I feel like it was like even younger than that. Like, I was like talking to my wife the other day about like, do you remember the movie Matilda?
Yeah, of course. Yes.
Honey?
Miss Honey. Yeah, big Miss Honey. Big time Miss Honey. Oh,
no, it's Rachel's.
Yeah.
She was just like, she would have gone to bat for you. Like, she was like, yeah.
Those
she
round was big glasses.
Miss Honey was hot.
Teach me how to read, Miss Honey.
Yes. Yeah. There's something about like teachers that were just, you know,
big time.
They like commanded attention. Yeah. Obviously, like, my wife is that same way. So I'm like, you're not a teacher, but you know, it's still
the confidence, still the power.
Yes, confidence. Yeah. And then Topanga from like Boy Meets World.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Topanga was hot.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel like even like Rose from Titanic, like I know that it was like, I was supposed to be like a big Leo fan, but I was like, you know, a big like Rose fan.
Nice drawings.
No, I'm like, hello, French woman.
Yeah. Did they save those drawings or?
I know. Yeah.
It's so funny. Yeah. See, that's it's so interesting when we ask people like who their high school or middle school crushes were, because it is always like older women too.
Like, yeah. Women are like the teacher.
The 30s, 40s, sometimes 50s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I never like had a crush on any of my friends like in school. Like it was never like, Oh, maybe I wish that like my friend would kiss. Never yeah. like that. It was always like people I saw on TV.
Yeah.
Same. I feel like with the crushes thing too, like as I was like learning about what queerness was, mm-hmm. obviously no, knew none. Mm-hmm. In my hometown, it was like no one was, but like I always had the vibe was like, if you're secretly a lesbian, then you hate men, or it would be yeah. like something that would be so repulsive. And I remember being like, it trying to like date guys and it being like, I'm like, I'm not repulsed. It's just like a sure. It's like, will you go out with me? Sure. Do you want to break up with me? Sure.
Yeah.
Like, do you want to kiss? Sure.
Like there was no emotion behind it. Or it
wasn't like that, like, ugh. Like, I'm like, it's fine. You know what I mean?
Well, that's
it's
a
like,
cliche.
It's sure. It's all around sure. And like, when you get to open up the opportunity, and that's why too, I was like, I don't know really what's happening. Just like, not a lot's happening. Like romantically, sexually. I'm like, there's just like whatever. And then when you actually start to fall in love with somebody, and for me, it was a woman.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the sure is gone and over. Yeah, I'm like, I'm a crazy person. It's like this.
Yes. Oh my God. Everything you just said. Yes, yes, and yes. Like, I have never been repulsed by kissing a man, which was so for me. Cause I was just like, wait, like, I can't be a lesbian. Cause like, I like, don't hate kissing men. So yeah, like, right. I can't. Like, as you're figuring this out, you have like these stereotypes of like, well, if you're a lesbian, then you hate kissing men.
Right.
And like, that was not my experience. But I also was like, I am not falling in love with you. I don't want to marry you. I don't need to meet your family. I don't need to meet your friends. I don't need to hang out with you all the time. Like, hold my hand.
That's just a coworker. That's a coworker you're kissing.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like, sure.
It's like, whatever.
You are correct. Yes. And then, yeah, like, dating, I mean, truly my wife is what like made me crazy. Like, I am crazy. Like, yeah. I am psycho about like how much I love this person.
That's when it like finally clicks in. You're like, the music, the heartbreak, all the movies you've ever seen, paintings. Yes. You're like, oh, it's all Hillary. It's always Hillary.
Yeah. Yes. There's nothing lukewarm about this at all.
I love that so much. Oh my God. This is
I feel like I used to be like pretty emotionless. Like, my family would be like, how are you not crying at this funeral or at this whatever? And I think it's just like you bottle up these emotions for so long and you just like kind of push them down so that everything kind of becomes numb. Mm-hmm. And then like when I met Hillary and it feels like that like world was open to me, I like cry if a bird for me, and I'm like, that's just the most beautiful bird I've ever seen.
This
and
is like, the exact same thing as my wife. Erica was like, I cannot cry. I've never cried in my life. I have a stone cold heart. And then she's like, I met you and I can't stop crying. Mm-hmm. And it'll be like a Budweiser commercial and she'll be in tears.
Literally.
In literal tears.
These damn horses are so beautiful.
Yeah. Like, yeah. What's going on here?
It's fucking, I think like this like love in you can really like soften the most, like, it's crazy.
I know.
I used to never cry. I met Nazara and now I'm like, if one AirPod dies and the other one's on, I'm like, they're lonely. I'm like, one is like missing the right. Yeah, I'm like, you know, because once you know love, I mean, the world, it is like a beautiful soft place. We all gotta write music.
Yeah.
You know. I know. It's crazy.
Brooke, it has been an honor to have you on. We are so blessed.
This was awesome. I love talking queer love. Thank you so much for sharing your stories with us. And thanks for making music. And thanks for being on this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, y'all.
Oh, my God. And where can all of our listeners find you?
I'm just at Brooke Eden on all social media. And then also on Spotify, Amazon, Apple Music, anywhere you get music.
Great. Oh my God. Perfect. It's been a dream. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Amazing episode. That was one of my favorite interviews. Like, what a rock star.
I love love so much. Same. We're all so in love. This was a great episode.
I know.
I started really unhinged and then it was really sweet.
Yeah. Super sorry about that. And that'll happen. And that'll happen.
I think our brand is, huh?
Yeah.
Very which sweet. We hit.
Yeah. And I love listening about love. You know that I am madly in love right now. Just got married. Yeah. I've been in the happiest place I've ever been. And it's really nice to see Brooke also madly in love with Hillary.
Yeah.
I want more. I want to listen to Outlaw Love way more. You guys, please go download and listen to that EP. It is unreal.
Follow Brooke. Listen to her music.
Yeah.
Wow. This has been an amazing episode.
I'm Mackenzie Goodwin.
I'm Rachel Scanlon. Go do something gay today.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We are the greatest dykes in the world. Mackenzie Goodwin. Rachel Scanlon. Worldwide Dykes for Life.